questions will bring us the exhortation today. The subject is compassion, and he has asked us to read Lamentation 3, verses 22 through 32. So if you'll turn with me to Lamentation 3, starting in verse 22, we read, "This I recall unto, call to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the mercy, to the multitude of his mercies."
Morning, brothers and sisters, respected friends of the truth. I started this talk, my last talk, and when I went to pick it back up, finish it up for this week, couldn't find it. So I had to start all over again. Going to the teacher and saying my dog ate my paper. I don't know what happened to it. And anyways, what I'd like for us to think about this morning is on this subject of compassion, as it is our duty to follow the examples of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are many scriptures that have been left for our learning and our admonition on how Jesus has shown this character in every aspect of his life. And I personally believe that it is critical and of most importance that we needs follow his life-shown examples even in our own lives. Compassion, in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, defines it as this: to sympathize, to bear, suffer in sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, together with a desire to alleviate it. Pity. God pities and has compassion on his people. This is only a basic part of his character and his being. We can sin and we can bring forth his wrath, and then his pity will vanish from us for a time. A great part of the suffering in Jerusalem during the exile was their isolation from God, who would not even accept their prayers, as they suffered as punishment for their sins. And have we ever felt like God has brought suffering upon us, maybe because of our own personal sins? Now, we know that we suffer because of our nature, of course, but what about when we miss the mark? Because of God's compassion, we are not consumed in his anger, but instead, he waits for us to reach out to him. He waits for us to call upon his name with our desperate prayers. Look back in your life and note the times of suffering and see if they coincide with how our relationship to God and His Son was. Hopelessness is a feeling that we bring upon ourselves. God is not willing that any should perish, but we have to be the ones to take the initial steps. His compassion has brought forth another day of life for us over and over and over again. So all of us in here, He still cares for us. The sun has risen, and so our hope continues day to day, waiting on our Lord and Master's return. And take a second to examine yourself on this subject of compassion. Is there any times in your life where someone was in distress and we didn't help when we could have? Maybe an elderly person had fallen, or maybe walking around looking confused, or a blind person or a handicapped person needing help carrying something, or maybe even a door opened. How about a poor person, some needy person on the corner? What did we do? Surely, we do not just pass by in their time of need. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 reads, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Compassion is a desire to alleviate someone else's struggles by putting ourselves into someone else's shoes and imagining the feelings and the thoughts that they might be going through, and then applying action. Compassion without action is a wasted emotion. And I'll say that again. Compassion without action is a wasted emotion. Walking in someone else's shoes could also give us a new perspective on suffering. And we might find out that we don't have it as bad as we think we do in comparison. When we are faced with the realization that our days are truly numbered, and the end may be sooner than we thought or had even hoped for, a sincerity should be there that affects us, that affects some of our deepest emotions. Turn with me to Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9. Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9 read, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. And the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." God is full of compassion. His mercy is unsearchable. Psalms 145:14. "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." And then verses 18 through 21. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." And notice that His compassion has certain requirements. If we intend to be a recipient of it, we have to fear Him, we have to draw nigh unto Him, and we have to call upon Him in truth. But most importantly, we have to love Him. And when we are not in concert with God's ways, those of us in covenant, will He hear our cry, or will He save us then? God, being full of compassion, assures us that our needs will always be met. Full, never runs out, and always able to satisfy our needs, if we are the reflection of the living faith. We must strive daily by our continuous association with the Spirit Word to remain a steadfastness in our spirit to serve God. When we allow Scripture to influence our way of thinking and our attitude, our love to one another, our conversations one to another, in this we are manifesting the Spirit of Christ. And this is well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father. The words of Scripture should both remind us and direct us to lead lives that bring glory unto our Creator. We are not to live or be unto ourselves, but our lives should be open to all that know and love us. So then, that our actions will both influence and possibly affect the lives of all of those around us. Galatians 6. Verses 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Every day is an opportunity to do good, and our goodness is to be offered to all persons. We are not to be weary in doing good. Our fleshly lusts have to be set aside and rejected so that we are not respecter of persons in order to apply this character of compassion. There are many examples in scriptures of compassionate men and women that have this overriding compulsion to be merciful even unto the giving up of their lives. What doth the Lord require of us? James 3, verses 17 and 18. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Do we find the connection between these words and our lives? Do these resemble our character? Do we feel desirous and compelled to do these commandments of our Father? Romans 12:21. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a call to action, just as compassion is. By simply feeling sorry for someone that is hungry or that is cold is of no meaning to God without doing something about it. We should provide a meal. We should give them our jacket. Rejecting these principles might lead us down the way in life, maybe needing of these same necessities and having to be humbled by God by a way that is not too pleasant to our palate. Psalm 78. Read a couple sections out of Psalms 78, 38, and 39. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And same chapter back to verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalms 111:4. 111:4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The entire Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And last one in Psalms 145:8. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now it is of no coincidence that 5 times the word compassion is used in the Psalms, and 40 times total in Scripture, and compassion is plural, used 2 times. In many instances, it is the same rendering of the Hebrew words translated mercy, gentle, clement, concern. Our state of being is of suffering and need, and we are all unworthy of any favors by the Father. God has provided His only begotten Son to show how much love He has, and for our relief, He is our mercy seat. What things would have moved Jesus with compassion? Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Because they fainted, Strong's has relaxed for fainted, and were scattered abroad, tossed, cast down, cast out, dispersed. Everyone had gone their own way. They were relaxed in their thinking and in their worship. They felt cast down from the hard lives and all the sufferings that they had come that had come with it. The Master was right there in front of them, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and himself, healing, it says, every sickness and every disease. Yet there were still feelings of hopelessness. And I think this is what moved Jesus Christ our Lord to move with such compassion. He knows of our frailties and our weaknesses. He could read the minds of brethren struggling with the flesh. Turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22:54-62. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, This fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Just in the space of a couple hours, Peter had gone from confidently ready to go to prison and even to death with the Lord, to the ultimate denial of his master, recorded for all of us to read. Imagining the thoughts of Peter as he wept bitterly, it is a very sad picture, because we realize the weaknesses of our own flesh. Christ prayed for Peter that his faith fail not. And I am sure he remembered what Christ said to him while weeping, When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But Peter had already thought that he was doing this, and now knows that he has some changes to make. As was in Peter's character, as so should be in ours, the ability to recognize our failures, accept them, repent, and move on. The Apostle Paul, after he was converted, would have certainly shown much compassion to the friends and families of those he had killed. How hard was it for the families and friends to do the same for Paul? Paul had pleasure in the killing of the saints. So how did he ever have the courage to stand up and say he was for Christ? Look over in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And then to verses 13 through 20. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He was a chosen vessel, as are we. Is this not compassion, that to God, that the God of heaven and earth took men whom the world had no trust and used them for a purpose to save those that would also hear and repent? The thoughts and actions these men left behind would no doubt be in their memories till their death, but at the same time would cause motivation to never return to the evil way. These lessons Paul and Peter would have learned through their ignorance would ultimately move them with compassion in dealing with the ecclesias in the future. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verses 1 through 8. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then back a chapter, a couple chapters in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. For us to be granted this mercy and compassion, we have to acknowledge the truth. We were all in a hopeless state at one time, and looking back on the time before our baptism into Christ, what caused us to want to come to meeting and to associate with these people that we call God's elect? Did we notice a difference in the people and in their choices and maybe their characters and their attitudes? Did it seem like there was concern and love for one another? And do we feel that way now? Do we feel or think that we are a compassionate person? Can you see the needs of others that are so hopeless around you and not feel compelled or a need to want to help them? Do we stop and ask or think, how can I help? When was the last time that you preached the word to an unbeliever? When was the last time we visited the sick or helped out a widow? Do we give to the poor or help our neighbor? It is always easy for me to justify my reasons for not doing these things until the time comes when I need it. And it will come. We will all get sick, and we will all eventually die. But God promised eternal life to the faithful who live their lives according to the Word of God, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke 23, verses 32. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then down through 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who of us, and not even at our death, is going to help a known convicted criminal, a wrongdoer, learn the truth? Who of us will let that criminal in our homes and around our children? And Christ died for this such a person, and we are never to condemn such a one. Do we live such a life that we can elevate ourselves to a higher level than this? That we can elevate ourselves higher than others, to think that such a person cannot repent or even be saved? Hebrews 5, verses 1 through 4. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Our great high priest and mediator, who now sits on the right hand of God, lived a life of compassion while on the earth. How many stories can we read of Jesus healing or curing someone's ailments? The multitudes followed him to be made whole again, and he provided to his fullest capacity. How many multitudes did he heal? No doubt, no time for self, as each of our cares should be focused on the needs of all the individuals in this room and in the brotherhood, knowing that we do have a duty and a responsibility to look after one another and to provide, by any means necessary, the needs of all God's chosen ones. Members who left are hopefully still in our prayers, as well as our family and friends, who all soon might see the wrath of God upon the unrighteous on this earth. And the time is nearing our Master's return, and it could be any time now that we are called away into our own judgment, standing in front of the King. May our characters be found pleasing unto the Master. And in closing, I'd like to read from Matthew 25. Starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Let us continue with the singing of, find out where I am here, hymn 252, 251, I don't have 252 in this book, so, pardon?
It's 268.
Okay, it's in the very back of the book, thank you. There's one in the back of the... Okay, I see it. Thank you. Father of lights, all blessings flow from Thee. Hear now, we pray, in Jesus' name, with all sincerity, our praise this day. Hymn 268. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, thank you. It's confusing. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Brothers and sisters, we're commanded by our Lord to take of these emblems in remembrance of Him. It doesn't matter if we are in a large ecclesia, traveling with friends or family, sitting on top of a mountain, or standing in the middle of the Sahara Desert. What's important is where our focus is. In Matthew 18:20, it reads, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We all know where our focus should be. Not on what we might have done or did not do yesterday, not on what we are going to do this afternoon or tomorrow, not where we are going for lunch or after meeting or anything else, but right here on these memorials. When we come together to take of the bread and the wine, we are standing in the presence of our Lord. Think about that. When we come together to take of the bread and the wine, we're standing in the presence of our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word in these verses, unworthily, doesn't mean because of something we've done we're unworthy to take of these emblems. The word unworthily is translated from the Greek word anaxios, which is translated in other places irreverently. So what we're talking about is to take of these emblems without giving reverence. When we approach this table having our minds somewhere else, not giving proper thought to these emblems set before us, we are irreverently presenting ourselves before the Lord and taking of His sacrifice in an unworthy manner. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of these emblems, the purpose of these remarks that we share before taking of these emblems To help us focus our minds on the memorial emblems and what they represent. He left this memorial that we might not forget the price of our redemption or our relationship to Him. In Hebrews 9, starting in verse 24, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation." And in Colossians 1, starting in verse 19, we read, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And in 1 Peter 1, 2 we read, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the verses just read, we see him as our Savior, removing the curse of Adam's sin through his sacrificial death and giving us a chance for life. And if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 2:14, read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And in Hebrews 4, starting in 14, we read, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. And again, Hebrews 10:19, we read, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. We also see him as our high priest and mediator, removing the barrier separating us from the Father and giving us access to the Father through him. In Acts 1, starting in verse 6, we read, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And in Acts 2, starting in verse 22, we read, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and is his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and having that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foe thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And finally, brothers and sisters, we see him as our soon coming king when he returns and the world will be ruled in righteousness. This is that man Jesus that we come here to remember, through whom we now have a chance for life everlasting in God's kingdom when it's established here in the earth. And with that thought in mind, let us turn to Matthew 26, where we read, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. I'd like to ask Brother Bill to offer thanks for the bread.
Precious Heavenly Father, we bow before you to thank thee for this blessing of this time of remembrance. We come to remember thy dear Son and his life and the sacrifice that he gave. We pray now as we partake of this bread that we might see in it the body that was wholly given unto thee in sacrifice. For he gave his life not only for us, but for himself as well, having the flesh that we all have. We pray that thou would be with us at this time, guiding, directing our thoughts, and save us into thy kingdom to come. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.